Good evening, Zimbabwe. You are listening to Studio 7 from the Voice of America on Wednesday, July 29th, 2015. Thank you for joining us live from Washington. This is Sandra Nyaira.
And I'm Jonga Kandemiri.
Here are our top stories this evening.
Local Government Minister Sevier Kasukwere and State Procurement Board Executive Chairman Charles Kwaza face charges of contempt of parliament for failing to attend two parliamentary meetings.
A Wange magistrate has remanded professional hunter Theodore Bronkhorst out of custody to August 5 on $1,000 bail on charges of killing Cecil, Zimbabwe's most famous lion.
He is charged of contravening Section 66, Subsection 2 of the Parks and Wildlife Act, as it is alleged that he failed to prevent an unlawful hunt. And we went into court and we applied for bail, which was granted in the amount of $1,000.
A Zimbabwean entrepreneur who attended the just-ended Global Economic Summit in Kenya says she was impressed by United States President Barack Obama's call for Africa to step up its efforts in ensuring that women have health care and education.
And the MDC Tsvangirai Formation denies the charges it is receiving money from Western governments in contravention of the Political Parties Finance Act.
George Charamba and his masters are just trying to create a sideshow by lying to the nation that we are breaching the Political Parties Finance Act.
These stories and much, much more coming up.
Local Government Minister Sevier Kasukwere and State Procurement Board Executive Chairman Charles Kwaza are facing charges of contempt of parliament for failing to attend two parliamentary portfolio committee meetings. Our correspondent Ivan Jifera reports from Harare.
Presenting a report on Kwaza's conduct in the National Assembly, Mines and Energy Portfolio Committee Chairperson Love Momatuke said Kwaza did not take the committee seriously when he failed to provide information about the State Procurement Board's operations in the power generation activities in the country. He said in some instances, Kwaza lied that he had provided the sought information by email to Parliament when in fact he had not done so. Matuke said Kwaza had also undermined the committee when he told them that the committee was disorganized. The committee wants the National Assembly to appoint a committee that will investigate Kwaza for breaching Parliament's privileges and immunities provisions. In another case, Youth and Empowerment Committee Chairperson Justice Wahia Jena requested the National Assembly to charge Kasukwere with contempt of Parliament after he threatened him and his committee when they summoned him to give evidence on the Zimunyamarange Community Share Ownership Trust. Wahia Jena said his committee was investigating why the five diamond mining companies in Manicaland Province, Marange Fields, had not donated $10 million each as claimed by Kasukwere. He said instead of answering questions, Kasukwere threatened them and claimed he was being harassed.
The conduct of the Honorable Minister S. Kasukwere, the effect of intimidating the committee, and in particular the chairperson, by making inferences that the chairperson was witch hunting the minister using the committee. This puts the wake of the committee into disrepute.
National Assembly Speaker Jacob Mudenda said he will study the two reports and make a ruling on whether they will be charged with contempt of parliament. Meanwhile, in another development, Finance Minister Patrick Chinamasa today officially introduced the newly appointed board members of the Reserve Bank of Zimbabwe. Chinamasa said the appointment of the board more than a year after the expiry of the previous board's term of office was part of restoring confidence in the country's institutions and economy.
That confidence had been eroded, peaking at the time of our hyperinflation. We needed to restore it. The confidence was also eroded because of our inability to honor our obligations locally and internationally.
The board, headed by Central Bank Governor John Manguja, is expected to present its first monetary policy next week. Businesswoman Rita Likukuma is the deputy chairperson. Reporting for Studio 7 from Harare, this is Ivan Chifera.
Mm-hmm. The Wange Magistrates Court today remanded professional hunter Theodore Bronkhorst out of custody to August 5 on $1,000 bail on charges of killing Cecil, Zimbabwe's most famous lion. Bronkhorst, who appeared before Magistrate Lindiwe Maphosa, was not asked to plead to the charges and was ordered to surrender his passport, reside at his Riverside address in Bulawayo, and not interfere with state witnesses. His co-accused, Honest Trimond Lovu, a Gwai Conservance farmer, is yet to appear in court on charges of allowing Bronkhorst to hunt on his Antoinette property when he had not been allocated the required permit. Bronkhorst's lawyer, Givemore Muviringi, tells reporter Standekile Mhlanga his client will plead not guilty to the charges.
My client appeared in court today. He is charged of contravening Section 66, subsection 2 of the Parks and Wildlife Act, as it is alleged that he failed to prevent an unlawful hunt. And we went into court and we applied for bail, which was granted in the amount of $1,000. And my client has been ordered to reside at his current home in Bulawayo. He has yet to surrender his passport, and he should report to the police 3 times a week on Mondays, Wednesdays, and Fridays. So we are going back to court for trial on the 5th of August.
What are you saying as the defense?
Well, obviously, my client is pleading not guilty.
And the reasons?
He had all the papers to conduct that hunt, and he had the authority to conduct the hunt, so he is pleading not guilty.
It has attracted an international audience, which is mostly condemning your client. Do you think this will have an effect on the proceedings and outcomes?
Well, it wasn't mentioned in court, that's the first thing. I cannot really speculate as to how much impact the publicity around this matter will have on the court proceedings. But it is my honest belief that justice will just take its course, regardless of the publicity surrounding the issue.
That was lawyer Givemore Muviringi on the line with Studio 7 from Owange in Matabeleland North.
One of the young Zimbabwean entrepreneurs who attended at the just-ended Global Economic Summit in Kenya, Tulele Nie, says she was impressed by United States President Barack Obama's call for Africa to step up its efforts in ensuring that women have healthcare and education. Mr. Obama made the call when he was speaking at the African Union Commission in Ethiopia yesterday. Lenia says she was also touched by President Obama's pledge to continue supporting young girls affected by HIV/AIDS in 10 countries, including Zimbabwe. In his speech, the U.S. president also said his country would support women's programs that focused on sexual abuse and domestic violence. Lenia tells Studio 7 Marvelous Ntlanganyawe she hopes that African leaders will heed Mr. Obama's remarks on women, education, and related issues.
We were very impressed with his choice on focusing on gender empowerment and that women are the next focus for economic growth. So for us, we're looking to see that beyond Kenya, in Zimbabwe, we will then hopefully be following suit as part of the African Union and also focus on gender empowerment in economic growth, particularly in sectors in financial services as well as in energy.
We saw President Barack Obama yesterday also calling on African governments, which includes Zimbabwe, to make sure that they provide health care and education for women. Looking at how you are surviving in Zimbabwe at the moment, do you think this is very feasible, or do you see African heads of states heeding this call by President Obama?
Oh, definitely. I think it's very feasible. Our services have stabilized and things are getting better in terms of access to maternal health services as well as basic education for both girls and boys. In general, I think our governments have understood that there is a need to focus on those basic services because they are part of our basic human rights.
Moving forward, what kind of challenges would you like to see addressed from what you learned at this Global Economic Summit and also from President Barack Obama's speech yesterday at the Africa Union?
The biggest one is for small, what we call SMEs, you know, the small and medium enterprises, to be supported more. We've generally found that access to capital as well as support from the corporate side has been quite limited.
That was Tulelenie, one of these young Zimbabwean entrepreneurs that recently attended a global economic summit in Kenya, hosted by President Barack Obama and his colleague, Kenyan President Uhuru Kenyatta, speaking there with Studio 7's Marvelous Mtlanganyawie from Nairobi, Kenya.
The Movement for Democratic Change, led by Morgan Tsvangirai, has denied the charges of receiving money from Western governments in contravention of the Political Parties Finance Act. This after the Official Herald newspaper quoted presidential spokesman George Charamba accusing MDCT officials of traveling to England, Austria, and Norway this week to receive external funding. As a result, Charamba said the government might be forced to review the Parties Finance Act to deny some opposition movements funding that they are entitled to under the law. But MDCT spokesman Obet Gutu rejected Charamba's charges, saying his party does not receive any foreign funding.
So the fact that the MDC is actually on the resurgence, the fact that the MDC is proving to be the largest and most popular political party is obviously causing problems to the ZANU-PF regime. George Charamba and his masters are just trying to create a sideshow by lying to the nation that we are breaching the Political Finances, Political Parties Finance Act. He knows that what he's telling the nation is very, very untrue. He knows that what he's telling the nation is actually a blue lie. The leaders of the MDC who are going to England tomorrow are actually going there as per an invitation from our party structures in the United Kingdom, Ireland province. To be more specific, they will be hosted by our structures in the city of Oxford in England. They are not going there to receive any money from any foreign government.
What if the government goes ahead, Mr. Gutu, and make changes to the Political Finances Act?
We can assure ZANU-PF that we'll give them a good run for their money in Parliament. Although they rigged the election on the 31st of July in 2013, resulting in us having a few members of Parliament, we can assure listeners that they will actually have the mother of all fight.
MDCT spokesman Obet Gutu on the line from Harare with reporter Ntungamili Nkomo.
Hillcrest College in Manicaland province has fired 74 employees, citing its incapacity to keep them at work due to serious financial problems. In dismissal letters dated July 24, Hillcrest advised the 54 general laborers and at least 20 teachers that their services were no longer required. The dismissed workers criticized the move, saying they have nowhere to go as a result of the high unemployment rate currently being experienced in the country.
Authors at the 2015 Zimbabwe International Book Fair say publishers should print cheaper books for the local market to enable people to purchase them. Speaking at the ZIBF today, the authors said lack of books is depriving writers of the much-needed income and readers a chance to access their creative works. Author Virginia Piri tells Studio 7's Tatenda Gumbo the current harsh economic situation in the country is seriously affecting the book market.
It's all in a really economic situation that is in a mess. And at the same time, the schools also find themselves in a situation that they are tempted to use pirated books with the knowledge of the headmasters, the teachers, and the Ministry also of Education is very helpless.
And looking at all these challenges that were brought up throughout this Indaba, were there any solutions that were found, in particular by you, the authors?
Well, solutions. People always say, well, we can go to raid, we can go and arrest these people, we can go and do A, B, C, D, all sorts of things. But I think personally, as Virginia Piri, the author, I find that the only solution is an economic situation, whereby if we fix the economy and put things right, then we get the equipment which can publish and print these books at a reasonable price, and the original books are even the quarter of the price that is on now, then we got it right, and then we can really flush out the pirates and everybody else who wants to abuse the books, you know, that sort of thing. The fixing of the economy, it's the critical issue.
That was author Virginia Piri speaking with Studio 7's Tatenda Gumbo from Harare.
You're listening to Studio 7 from the Voice of America in Washington.
We are broadcasting on 909 Metom Wave and on the 4930, 5940 and 15460 shortwave frequencies.
On the internet, find us at www.studio7news.com.
You can also text us at 001-202-465-0318.
Coming up,
20 sculptures crafted by Zimbabwean artists attracting millions of viewers in America.
But first, we look at regional and international news.
The United Nations Security Council is scheduled to vote today on a draft resolution establishing an international tribunal to try those suspected of shooting down a Malaysia Airlines plane over eastern Ukraine a year ago.
As health officials in Liberia, Guinea, Sierra Leone struggle to eliminate the final cases of Ebola, a new report says some hard lessons have been learned. The group International Alert says a lack of trust between the Liberian people and their government made the outbreak worse.
The government of the Islamic Republic of Afghanistan said Wednesday that Mullah Muhammad Omar, leader of the Taliban, died in April 2013 in Pakistan. A government statement said the findings were based on credible information.
Lawyers for convicted Israeli spy Jonathan Pollard today said that U.S. officials have decided to free him in November after 30 years in a federal prison.
And the Bangladesh Supreme Court upheld a death sentence against opposition leader Saluddin Koga Chaudhry today in connection with mass killings during the country's 1971 war for independence from Pakistan.
Large sculptures crafted by Zimbabwean artists, which have been gracing America's Hartsfield-Jackson Atlanta International Airport since 1999, attract millions of people everywhere. David Vought, airport art program manager, says the large sculptures are part of the airport's program to humanize the international airport's vast scale as they provide travelers with museum-quality artifacts that engage them between flights. Vought says the art installations that are inspired by Zimbabwe's rich culture have universal themes that touch the hearts of travelers drawn from all parts of the world. He tells Studio 7's Gibbs Dube the sculptures are a permanent installation at the airport.
It's located in the airport's pedestrian corridor, down in the area of the airport where the people mover train takes people from the security checkpoint out to the new international terminal. And so passengers have the option of taking the train or walking between the different concourses. And it's the first project of five that were intended to be implemented for this space as a part of an arts master plan.
Are there any notable sculptors with some pieces at that airport?
We've got Nicholas Mukamaranwa, Vladman Zinyeka, there's Agnes Nyanhango, Gideon Nyanhango. We felt when we wanted to do the project, we felt that the sculpture movement there in Zimbabwe was one of the most important contemporary art movements, not just in Africa, but in the world. And so we thought the work, because of its subject matter being so universal, the themes of family, connectedness to the environment, spirituality, we felt that that would resonate with all the diverse passengers the millions of passengers that pass through Hartsfield-Jackson every year. And as you know, the airport is, we are the world's busiest airport. So the work is seen by millions of passengers every year.
So now tell us a bit about the themes that are being displayed there.
Well, I mean, like I mentioned, there's definitely a lot of themes related to connectedness to family, like Agnes Nyanhango's piece, Welcome Baby, showing a mother embracing a child. There's pieces by Joe Mutasa that's entitled Protected Family that shows a family unit that's being embraced by this kind of almost like the hand of God that's protecting the family. So there's themes of family. There's kind of themes of spirituality, like in Gladman's piece that it's called It One with Nature. It has a figure that's literally embracing an eagle. And when we do school tours, we always, you know, talk to the students about, you know, what it being such a beautiful metaphor for, you know, why we need to live in harmony with the creatures we share this planet with.
That was David Vogt, Airport Art Program Manager at America's Hartsfield-Jackson Atlanta International Airport, speaking there with Studio 7's Gibbs Dube from Atlanta, Georgia. Artist Gideon Nyanongo, with some sculptures at the airport, says he's happy about the exhibition.
I'm proud of being a Zimbabwean, and I'm proud that we are sharing our culture with the world. Atlanta is one of the biggest international airports in the world, and finding that to be exhibited, our culture and our philosophy from Zimbabwe being displayed there, makes me feel proud of our culture and what we can do out of Zimbabwe.
So are there any benefits accruing from those displays?
Yes, it's an international advertisement for Zimbabwean art, which will create an awareness world over about what Zimbabweans can do out of stone, what do Zimbabweans believe, and what type of people are they. It's a very big benefit to the culture of art from Zimbabwe.
And we see that you are now based in the USA. So how do you get your stones, you know?
I go back to Zimbabwe, I drive around the country, different quarries, and I pick different kinds of stones. Only those which connect with me are the ones which I pick. I create them and I ship them over. Some of them I work with my family back there. I still have my studio in Zimbabwe, where when I go back, I have youngsters who wants to learn off of me. I will be working with the youngsters and teaching them how to carve. And also, I would like to plow back into the community, which is my Zimbabwean counterparts. So I do go back and pick them and I ship them over.
Now, let's talk about living from these stones. How difficult is it to make a living out of that?
You got to be good. You got to be really good. You got to be very innovative. You have to be very creative, which will then relate to a lot of people. So people might be attracted to a piece. They might just like it. But to get them to like it and to want to own it, it's a different level. So you got to do it right, and you got to be very creative and be very genuine. Instead of just copying what has been done by other people, you need to come up with a very brilliant ideas which are edible.
That was the stone sculpture Gideon Nyanongo speaking with Studio 7's Gibbs Dube from Sedona, Arizona in the USA.
A fish farming project set up in Nyamuyenda village in Manicaland province a couple of years ago has become a bedrock of conserving local wetlands while providing nutritious food to 28 households in Nyanga North. As our correspondent Loida Moyo reports, the fish program has even attracted unwanted visitors like birds that are feasting on the mouth-watering fish.
It all started with fish worth $400 provided by Zimbabwe's Environmental Management Agency, or EMA, in their quest to preserve local wetlands that play a critical role in purifying the ecosystem. Our attempts to preserve the environment for future generations is now paying dividends, as the fish project is flourishing and improving the quality of food in the local community. 47-year-old Tapiwa Charangwa, secretary of the Nyamuyenda Wetland Protection and Fish Ponds, says local people are benefiting a lot from the project.
Because of this project, we are benefiting the balanced diet to our children and to us, then cash to our children, school fees, and maintain our wetlands.
Charangwa says many other people now want to be part of the project, as they are seeing the benefits of fish farming. The abandoned fish have attracted unwelcome guests, fishmonger birds, which he says wreck their ponds mainly in summer.
The problem is that there is a big bird which comes to eat the fish. The fish will be on top of water feeding, and then that bird will come and eat the fish.
Another member of the Fish Project, 60-year-old Jen Charangwa, says despite this slight setback, they are gaining a lot from the fish ponds.
From this fishing, we benefit to feed our children, to treat ourselves from eyesight, to get energy and protein. You can even sell this fish, then you can get money from it. You can even send our children to school.
Charangwa believes that this is one of the best ways of empowering communities. The villagers are breeding kariba bream, which is one of the popular dishes in the local community. It also breeds well in some parts of Manicaland region, home of the Nyanga trout. Emma Manicaland Provincial Manager Kingston Chitotombe says they chose the Nyamenda wetlands as the natural water bodies were under threat from overgrazing and illegal alluvial gold panning.
This wetland was degraded due to overgrazing. So as a way of preserving this wetland, we thought of giving the community fencing material. They fenced it. But to ensure that these communities protect this wetland, we had to introduce a livelihood component by way of fish ponds. So now this wetland is protected, and we are sure that this community is going to benefit from the fish.
Chitotombe says the project is a novel way of tackling environmental degradation and balancing people's diet.
In one way, we are protecting the wetland, then at the same time, communities are benefiting out of this wetland.
He says EMA is targeting other wetlands in the province with a view of ensuring that they are preserved while providing food to local people. Some wetlands in cities like Chitungwiza have been degraded through the construction of residential and commercial buildings. According to Chitotombe, a similar fish project would have saved the wetlands. Reporting for Studio 7 from Nyamenda Village in Nyanga, this is Lloyd Damoyo.
Stay tuned for Studio 7 Live Talk at 8:30 p.m. when our hosts Blessing Zulu and Gibbs Dube will be talking with listeners and experts about their recent trip to Kenya and Ethiopia by U.S. President Barack Obama.
To join the discussion, text us at 001-202-465-0318 so we can call you back from our studios.
I am a follower of Studio 7 since its inception. So since you interview many politicians, I request that you bring Trangirai on board and ask him why he has chosen to manipulate the party constitution. Even Maduku has overstayed at NCA. I am a follower of Studio 7 since its inception. So since you interview many politicians, I request that you bring Trangirai on board and ask him why he has chosen to manipulate the party constitution. Even Maduku has overstayed at NCA. Good evening, Jonga and friends. Thanks for doing us proud in each and every episode of your usual broadcast.
Thank you, Rungano. They're giving us the mailbag.
And now to recap today's top stories.
Local Government Minister Xavier Kasuku Eren, State Procurement Board Executive Chairman Charles Kuwaza, face charges of contempt of Parliament for failing to attend two parliamentary meetings.
A Wange magistrate has remanded professional hunter Theodore Bronkhorst out of custody to August 5 on $1,000 bail on charges of killing Cecil, Zimbabwe's most famous lion.
And Zimbabwean entrepreneurs who attended the just-ended Global Economic Summit in Kenya say they were impressed by United States President Barack Obama's call for Africa to step up its efforts in ensuring that women have health care and education.
That's our broadcast this evening.
Now please stand by for Studio 7 in Ndebele with Sandekile Mhlanga.
And I'm Jonga Kandemiri, wishing you a pleasant evening and a very good night.
Just as a reminder for you to join us at 7 every evening for news in three languages. and visit us on the internet at www.studio7news.com. This is Sandra Nyaira signing off. Good night, Zimbabwe. Over to Standekile with the Ndebele News.